Well, tonight, the second session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 30, and we'll be looking at how to be happy no matter what. Okay, no matter what. Again, learning from the Apostle Paul and his situation. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read actually the whole section, and then we'll go back as we did last week and just kind of break it apart. The outlines that you have tonight, of course, have, as last week, the conversational and discussion guide with it. That's also meant for you to be used during the course of the week for just to reflect and go over the teaching. The questions are designed to be practical in nature, so it means they're designed to get us to act on what we heard and received through the teaching. So as you can see, they're very practical strategies that it's asking you to work out in the course of the week. Okay, so Philippians chapter 1, begin with verse 12. Okay, and St. Paul says this, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, and yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. And then only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not having any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me." And the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so there's a lot there. So we're going to take some time tonight. Remember, we said last week that the whole context for this is Paul's writing from prison. And just to give you a little bit of information or background here, let's look at the very top of your outline. Let's read that very top verse underneath Philippians 1, 12 through 30. Let's read it together. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. That's what St. Paul was doing in prison. The Apostle Paul was conducting himself in a way worthy of the gospel. And just remind you, Paul ran afoul of the Roman government. And the Caesar that he ran afoul of was Nero. Okay. So now, in the ancient world, and today too, to some extent, it's scandalous to be put in prison. That's exactly where Paul was. But while he was in prison, he was attached to the Roman guard, the palace guard, which was Caesar's bodyguards, if you would. Now, this was really like top-of-the-line bodyguards. Like, these were the best in the world. And he was attached to them one every 4 hours. He was there in prison for 2 years. So that meant there were 4,380 guards that Paul was attached to over a two-year period. That means 4,380 guards heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to see tonight where Paul is saying that no matter what the situations are, no matter what the circumstance is, that it's worthy of the good news of Jesus Christ. So whatever you're going through, whatever is happening in your life, St. Paul would say, or the Apostle Paul would say, look at it through the eyes of God being at work in your situation for the furtherance of the gospel, which is what is the supreme heart of God's desire. The gospel, of course, is the fact that Jesus came, died for our sins, was raised from the dead, conquering sin and death, and that those who repent of their sins and open their hearts wide to Jesus Christ have eternal life. You know, and we'll be hearing more about that not only tonight but also in the weeks ahead, and having the opportunity also to give our hearts to Christ, which is the heart of the gospel, to surrender our hearts to Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at your outlines. No matter what happens, I can be happy if, and that first blank there, as I look at every problem from God's viewpoint. I look at every problem through God's viewpoint. St. Paul was chained to 4,380 palace guards over a two-year period, and he says that, let's look at what he says in verse 12. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. That's the passion of Paul's heart, to spread the good news. He saw his being chained to the palace guards as the opportunity to spread the good news. So the palace guards learned over a two-year period that Paul was in jail, not because of a political crime, but he was in jail because of the preaching of the Messiah Jesus. Some of those palace guards in Nero's family became Christians because of that. So think of a problem you have right now. Can you see that problem through the eyes of God? Can you get his viewpoint on that problem? It's really critical to our happiness to get it from God's viewpoint, to see our problems from God's view. Paul would say to us today, the light of faith changes the way we see situations. Paul saw his imprisonment as an opportunity to advance the gospel. How do you see the problems in your life? Do you see them as opportunities to advance the gospel? So anytime I face problems then in faith, just look at this, it's a witness to unbelievers. Verse 13 there, for everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, know that I'm in chains because of Christ. So in other words, Paul was witnessing to unbelievers. Do you witness to unbelievers in the midst of your problems? The people that are seeing you go through stuff in your life, do they understand that as you go through the situations and challenges in your life, that you witness to them? You actually tell them and share Christ with them? It's a key to your happiness when you do so. And the second thing underneath that, it's an encouragement to believers. It's an encouragement to believers. Believers are encouraged when they see another Christian going through stuff in their life and they see that Christian witnessing to Christ. They're saying, I'm seeing this from God's viewpoint. I'm seeing how God's at work in this situation. I'm seeing how this is going to glorify Christ. That's a tremendous encouragement to believers. Let's look at verse 13. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, know that I'm in chains because of Christ. And then right underneath that, and because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Christians were becoming emboldened because of Paul giving witness to Christ in the midst of Caesar's imprisonment, prayed by the palace guards. Christians were being encouraged by Paul. Do you encourage other Christians when you're going through troubles in your life? Or are you like me sometimes, complain, gripe, look at things from a negative point of view, if only this and if only that, you know, there's no witness to the believers in that. There's no encouragement, is there? There's no witness to unbelievers in that. If there's anybody that could have griped and complained and said, woe is me, it was Paul in prison, attached to a palace guard 24/7. He just got a new one every 4 hours.
Confused that word.
And Bob, we'll take questions afterwards. Okay. Number two on your outline. I can be happy no matter what if I let others if I never let others control my attitude, I can be happy no matter what. If I never let others control my attitude. Now, St. Paul, this is verses 15 through 18. He was faced with people who were definitely trying to control his attitude. He had critics. He had friends. He had competitors. He had conspirators. They happened to be Christians, by the way. If he didn't have enough problem with the Romans' palace guard, he had Christians who were trying to undermine his ministry, who were jealous, competitive, and envious. He also had good Christian friends, too. Let's take a look at what he says here. It is true that some preach Christ because they are jealous and quarrelsome. The Greek word for quarrelsome there means they love conflict. They love to be divisive. You ever met people like that? They love conflict. The scripture calls that they're quarrelsome, born out of jealousy. Goes on to say, others preach Christ from genuine goodwill. They were the ones he was strengthening through his witness in jail. Those do so out of love and know that they know God's given me the work of defending the gospel. So in other words, St. Paul had genuine Christian friends who were strengthened by his witness in jail and were preaching the gospel out of genuine motives of love, for not only for Paul, but for the advancement of the gospel. And there were others who were doing it to be conflictual and quarrelsome. And thirdly, others preach Christ insincerely from a spirit of selfish ambition. In other words, they were looking to get something out of it. Paul was in jail, so it gives me a chance to rise up to the top in the Christian community. I think I'll seize this opportunity. Now listen, he's got all these people trying to control this situation. Listen to what Paul says, the next verse here. Others just want to stir up more trouble for me and add to my pain while I'm in prison. So that's the ambitious part. And then if you turn over, this is what Paul has to say. This is verse 18. This is what he says. But it doesn't really matter. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong reasons, the message of Christ is being shared. So I'm happy, and I will continue to be happy. You see, Paul didn't let others control his attitude. Therefore, he was free to focus upon what he knew was the passion of his heart, which was to make the gospel known. You could be happy too if you don't let others control your attitude. But that's your choice. That's my choice. We choose that. No one can force that. That's our choice to let others control our attitude or not. But the key to one of the keys to happiness, no matter what the circumstances are, is that I can choose how I'm going to respond to the situation. Let's look at verse 28. Paul says, be fearless no matter who opposes you. It will be a sign to them of their downfall that God is with you. And that he will save you. Look at the confidence in the Lord. The confidence he has in the Lord, how the Lord will deliver. The word for save there means soteria, which means deliver from a situation. Verse 29 through 30, let's read this together. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of a great struggle. So, Paul was very much aware of the saboteurs of his ministry. He was aware of those that were seeking to be, who were seeking to take advantage of his situation, and he was aware of his friends that were genuinely for him. And for Paul, the bottom line was, his attitude was, this will advance the gospel. As long as the gospel was being proclaimed by these people, he didn't care what their motives were because he wanted people to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ because that's the only way people are saved, through hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you don't need the approval of others to be happy. Okay, let's look at number three here. I can always be happy no matter what happens if I always trust God to work things out. So I can always be happy no matter what happens if I only trust God to work things out. Verse 19 there, St. Paul says, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me, and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, all that's happened will turn out for my deliverance. The key word here is the word, a couple things in this verse. First of all, he's knowing that the Christians in Philippi are praying for him. That's a key thing. People are praying for him as he's in jail. And the second thing he has confidence in is not only their prayers, but he has confidence in the Spirit of Jesus helping him, the Holy Spirit helping him. He's aware of and conscious of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon his life in this situation. To be aware of the Holy Spirit working us and to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit is really critical to our happiness. To know the power of God is working on your behalf is a key way to remain in a place of joy no matter what the circumstances are. So if you've never been prayed with and experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life, you know, I really encourage that, because we need power of God in situations which you're challenged with to get through. This is not a self-help course, okay? We need the power of God to help us. And for some of us as Catholics, the Holy Spirit remains rather dormant in us, and we're not tapping into the power of God to help us through circumstances. Paul says right here that the Spirit of Jesus was being poured out to him in this circumstance to give him what he needed to get through. I don't know how you are, but I need all the help I can get. So if God has more Holy Spirit to pour out, I'll take more Holy Spirit, and I'll stand on no protocol. Verse 20, he says, it's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. This is really a key verse in understanding Paul's spirit of joy, is that this circumstance he was praying for God to deliver him from, and the other Christians in Philippi were praying for the same thing. But what Paul was saying was that, look, bottom line is that this is not going to be a shameful situation for me. Remember, him being in jail was seen as a shameful situation. Paul was saying, no, it's not for me. I don't see it that way at all. I see that if God delivers me, he'll deliver me either out of the prison or he will deliver me into the fullness of eternal life. For St. Paul, he was secure in the eternal life that had been given to him through his encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He said, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Are you secure of the eternal life the Lord has given you? It's really important to know that. Somebody once asked Catherine of Siena one day, do you know you're going to go to heaven? And she said this, to Jesus today, Jesus tomorrow, Jesus all the way to heaven. Are you walking securely with Jesus today, so you can walk securely with him tomorrow, so that you know that the last breath you take here will be the first breath you take in the presence of the Lord? And he welcomes you home as his son, as his daughter? No. St. Paul had that confidence. And that confidence, look, wasn't because he was St. Paul. It was because he learned to be taught by the Spirit of God. He learned to allow the Lord to form his heart and mind in the Word of God, so that he could grow in that confidence, grow in that security to know that if he wasn't delivered physically out of jail, he'd be delivered into the presence of the Lord. He had that security. That's why the man could be confident and bold, because he understood that it was a win-win situation for him. Where does that confidence come from? It comes from the Spirit of God alive in our life. It comes from the Word of God, which we reflect on and get God's heart and God's mind for us. Okay, and then the last number four here. I can be happy no matter what if I stay focused on my purpose, not my problem. How many of us get so caught up in our problems, right? We get, it's overwhelming to us. And we lose sight of our focus. We lose sight of our purpose. Let's look at what Paul's purpose was, verse 22 through 25. If by continuing to live I can do more worthwhile work for Christ, then I'm not sure which I should choose. I'm pulled in two directions. I want very much to leave this life and be with Christ, which is a far better thing. But But for your sake, it's much more important that I remain alive. I'm sure of this, that I will stay on with you all so I can add to your progress in joy in the faith. And he goes on to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It was a win-win situation for Paul because no matter what the problem was for him, he remained focused upon his purpose, which was to make Christ known to others. You have a purpose for your life. You know, I would contend, and we're going to look at that question in just a minute because it's a key question, because it's going to determine your happiness, you know. Determine whether you're happy in situations that are challenging to you and difficulties and sticklers of problems that don't seem to go away. Remember, Paul was in jail for 2 years. This problem was not going away overnight. Okay, so for him to maintain a spirit of happiness and joy and peace in his heart meant he had to be focused more on his purpose than his problem. Viktor Frankl, many of you know him as a Jewish psychiatrist from the World War II and the concentration camps, wrote the book Search for Meaning. He was in Dachau, Auschwitz, you know, death camps. He said one day in one of these death camps, he said he stood before the Gestapo. He says he stood stark naked. He said they took away his clothes. They took away his wedding ring. He had been watching his family be gassed, you know, so his family members were gone. He said he realized at one point as he stood there before the Gestapo, they couldn't take away his choice of how to respond to the situation. They couldn't take that away. Therefore, the search for meaning. He had a purpose for living that got him through those camps. Because no matter how dire the situation was, no matter how much was taken from him, they couldn't take his choice away of how he was going to respond to the situation. So you may not be able to control what others do to you, and you may not be able to control what people around you do, but you can control how you respond to the situation. Nobody can take that away from you. And that was the foundation of Paul's purpose for living. For him, they couldn't take away the fact that he was in situations to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his purpose for living. What's your purpose for living? Take a look at that blank there. How would you fill in this blank that will determine your happiness? For me to live is, and then you fill it in. You don't have to do it now. Take some time during the week to fill that in. For St. Paul, in this verses 22 through 25, his happiness came not from self-gratification, but it came from self-sacrifice. He saw that his life existed to proclaim the gospel on behalf of the churches and to build them up. His life came, his purpose and meaning came from not serving himself, but from serving others and putting his life out there as a sacrifice to serve others. He saw his purpose then is advancing the gospel to build up the churches and to bring others to Christ. And that was the source of his happiness, that no matter what the situation was, he found himself in. For me to live is, and you fill that in, because that will determine a key to your happiness. So let's pray. So Lord, we thank you tonight for the Apostle Paul and for the witness of his life that encourages us almost 2,000 years later. We thank you, Lord, that he continues through the Word of God to build up our spirits, to make us bold, even in the face of the challenges that we face. So, Lord, we pray tonight that we may open our hearts more widely to you, particularly in the challenges that we're facing in our life, the things that are going on that don't go away so easily. And yet you call us to be a people who walk in a spirit of joy and happiness. As we've heard your word tonight, Lord, help us to be not just hearers of the word, help us to be doers of that word. We pray for the practical wisdom to work out intentional strategies in our life, in which we can be able to respond to the problems and situations in our life in a way that will maintain our peace so we can live in a spirit of joy. We pray all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, as last week, break you down into small groups. So I invite you to go back to the same small groups you were there last week. And if you're new this week, we're here just pick any group. There'll be one over by the table here, one in the center. I think there was one in the other room as well. So, and there's one at this table here. So again, I invite you to about a half hour discussion. You're free to leave afterwards. There's plenty of refreshments in the kitchen area.
Sure.